You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Good morning. But let's go to our scripture and read Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd add your blessing to the reading of this, your holy word, because we ask it in Christ's name for his sake. Amen.
Let's go ahead and open up with the prayer, and then we'll get started. Father, we pause now to study your word, and we thank you for the time set aside to do that. Lord, we thank you for the completeness that we have in the Bible. Lord, you've given your word that it's complete, and we have your very thoughts that we might get to know you better. Lord, we thank you for this assembly where we come together freely and study your word, and we thank you for the efforts throughout the week, the Bible studies, and just everyone that contributes. Lord, we thank you for their effort, and thank you for the love that each one of us has that we might get to know you better, and pray that that would be energized so we might daily seek to know you. And we just thank you for that, for it's in Christ, and we pray, and for his sake, amen. Well, was there a football game yesterday? I didn't think so. You know, one thing, certainly it's exciting to think about where football, at least Oklahoma football, is right now. And I think, you know, what did these coaches do when they went in and they took a team that had been doing poorly? They laid a good foundation. They built on just the fundamentals. You know, I remember football coaches always talking about, you forgot the fundamentals. You didn't tackle. You know, you didn't block. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. And I thought, well, you know, if the Lord's up there, and if he's the quarterback, and we're part of the team, is there times when he looks at us and says, you're not doing the fundamentals? You're not blocking. You're not tackling. You're not reading scripture. You're not praying. You're not fellowshipping. These are the fundamentals, right? And I thought, well, what's a good foundation? And then as I pondered when Derek said, well, I'm going to be out of town this week, and, you know, you're on. I thought, well, what, you know, there's so much to talk, and he and I talked about how sometimes in preparation there's frustration because there's the whole Bible. You know, what do I present? I have a Sunday. And I thought this concept of a good foundation stuck with me. And then I also was thoughtful of where we are in the time of the year and the season. And in the handout, you see, you share some of you. It was it was the summer of 1999 that Carter and I took a trip to Hawaii. And on this trip, we were in Maui, but we took a plane one day over to see the Pearl Harbor Arizona Memorial. And it was on December 7th of 1941, and today, December 3rd, and we're pretty close to the anniversary of that date. I wanted to just kind of pause and kind of tie this in. Now, you might say, well, what does, you know, Pearl Harbor have to do with the fundamentals of being a Christian? Well, hopefully you'll see that at the end of something like this. If you look at the handout and just some of the pictures that I took, here's Carter looking at a huge memorial of the USS Arizona. And we took a boat and we rowed over to the memorial. And you can see Carter there looking in the ocean at the ship underneath water. And, you know, most people know about the Arizona. Most people, if they saw that picture, go, oh, yeah, that's Pearl Harbor, you know, and they know that. But what do people know about the USS Oklahoma? You know, the USS Oklahoma played a big part in that Pearl Harbor piece. It, too, was present on that fateful day. And what about that? Well, you see on the front page, you see pictures of the Oklahoma. That's not the Oklahoma sailing. That's actually the Oklahoma submerged. You see a picture there. Flip to page 2. It was on December 7, 1941, that the U.S. Maryland was moored inboard, meaning on the inside of the USS Oklahoma, and was thus protected by the USS Oklahoma when Japanese torpedoes struck. The unfortunate Oklahoma, an older ship with much less adequate protection against underwater damage, was hit by up to 9 torpedoes. Her hull's port side was open almost completely from below the forward gun turret back to the third turret, a distance of over 250 feet. She listed quickly, her port bilge struck the harbor bottom, and then she rolled almost completely over. Oklahoma came to rest less than 20 minutes after she was first hit. Some of her starboard underwater hull and the starboard propeller were now all that showed above the surface of Pearl Harbor. Now, I pause there because I think about a few minutes before that happened, Sunday morning. What's going about their business on the ship? Well, we've seen reenactments. I wasn't there, but I've seen movies. I've seen many reenactments of that. And actually going over there now and standing in that area, wondering how lovely the area is, you know, and just could imagine how beautiful it was on a Sunday morning waking up. And who would have known that tragedy was going to strike right then and there? Well, let's read on. Some of Oklahoma's men were still alive inside the upturned hull, and their rescue became the focus of an intense effort over the next 2 days. 32 sailors were recovered alive, but over 400 on the USS Oklahoma were killed. In 1943, that capsized ship was rolled upright and raised in one of the salvage profession's greatest undertaking, but she was not further repaired. The Maryland was hit by two bombs, and it later was returned to service in February of 1942. The two pictures there show are in downtown Oklahoma City. The anchor of the USS Oklahoma is there, as well as the plaque that talks about that fateful day in Pearl Harbor, December 7, 1941. There's one story about a chaplain who was on board the USS Oklahoma. This chaplain's name was Chaplain Al Schmidt. This was to have been Al Schmidt's last service on board the ship that Sunday, for he had gone three decks down to prepare for the service and to hear confessions. The following week, he would have been transferred over to duty on shore. 1 week away. Suddenly, they felt four tremendous explosions. Four torpedoes had struck the port side of the Oklahoma. The lights went out. Al, with those in the compartment with him, made their way out and tried to get up to the starboard side when they hoped they would find an open porthole. They did. Al Schmidt, the pastor there, assisted men out of the porthole. He then tried to get through it and couldn't. When they recovered his body weeks later, they discovered he had attached some of his ecclesiastical gear to his belt, and this was prohibiting him getting through the porthole. But realizing there were other men who had come into the compartment and they were being prevented from escape, he had the men outside push him back in. You think he had assurance? Now, that just, you know, that almost chokes me up. Oh, I just have to stop because I think, here's someone who is preparing for a service, and a week later is going to be moving on to the shore. Yet that tragedy struck, and Al Schmidt, you know, lost his life in the line of duty. The summary of the losses that day were rather significant. The U.S. casualties alone, you had over 2,400 people killed, over 1,100 wounded. The aircraft losses were 165 planes. The ship losses were tremendous. You had the Arizona and the Oklahoma, both were total losses and sunk. Others were sunk and later repaired. There was heavy damage on a lot of the craft. But as an example, and really just that's, I wanted to kind of share that with you because I was actually over there and saw it, but as December 7th comes this week, I mean, just set aside a prayer for those who fought for this country and who experienced, because I've never experienced anything like that. You know, my generation hasn't. My generation, the biggest tragedy is if the cable goes out during a football game, right, or if pizza's late when you order it. I mean, there is no tragedy in my generation's life. And I wonder how good a foundation, and you have to ask yourself, how good of a foundation do I have if tragedy strikes like that? Whether it be war or whether it be personal. Most of all, what if it's spiritual? You know, remember, go to Ephesians 6. We've had this study not too long ago. Ephesians chapter 6. You think, well, that was a war, and that was, you know, it's almost 60 years ago. 41 to, you know, 2001. Like, that's 60, isn't it? 60 years ago, next year, will be the 60th anniversary of this event. That's forever. That's, you know, that's ancient history. That's old movies. Whoops. Yes, I fully can insert foot in mouth at any appropriate time. Verse 10, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, we're to stand, verse 14, and we see the armor of God here, having our loins girded about with truth, a breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Taking on the shield of faith, we're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take that helmet of salvation, which is the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. You know, when we think about many lessons from history that show at any time, anywhere, calamity can strike. And tragedy occurs. Whether it's acts of war or acts of witness, there will be casualties for those who are not ready to face the enemy. And at that point in time, the enemy was not readily apparent until they were right on it. And then from that point on, we declared war. And I think I had a page marked here. It was on December 8th, you had Franklin Delano Roosevelt say in the speech he starts out, yesterday, December 7th, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. The United States was at peace with that nation, and the solicitation of Japan was still in conversation with its government and its emperor, looking toward the maintenance of peace in the Pacific. Maintenance of peace. You know, mankind today is looking for peace, but we know that the only peace that you're going to find is in Christ Jesus. Period. Well, as a Christian soldier, we must ask ourselves, you know, what is our foundation? Is it on rock or is it on sand? In the face of life challenges, are we ready to stand? God has provided us with a way to build a foundation that is sure, one that's built on Christ Jesus. And it's up to the Christian to prepare for the good and bad times. As Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, it is not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He says, I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. And he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthen me. How often do we praise God in good times, and we want to curse God in bad times? Or when things seem to be going, you know, rough at the office, or frustrating in any aspect of life, we're saying, God, you know, what's up? Why aren't you with me? When, in fact, it's us who aren't with Him. There's that famous, and I think of this, the famous picture where they have footprints in the sand. You've all seen that, right? Well, what does that say? The bottom line of that thing is, God, where were with me? Why weren't you with me? And He says, I was carrying you. See, the onus is on us. The onus is that we should want to be with God and fellowship with Him. You know, His plan, and that great lesson that Derek gave, I believe it was last week when we talked about God's plan, no matter who's in power, is going to get accomplished. It's up to us to whether we want to participate or not. And this is where the onus is on us. That do we want to prepare ourselves and build a foundation in our lives that we might be able to be a Christian soldier that has a witness that's not a tragedy, a witness that's not torpedoed. A witness that if someone put you on trial in court, what could they say, is this person a Christian? Have we forgot the fundamentals? You know, what are the fundamentals? You know, fellowship, prayer, Bible study, and good works. And we're called unto good works. How should we spiritually build our foundation so we can stand sure no matter what happens in the journey through our lives? No matter, like Paul said in Philippians there, whether it, you know, it seems to be bad, then I'm praising God. And if it's really good, I'm praising God. Well, we saw in our scripture reading this morning in Jeremiah 9, 23, 24, it's not found in certain things. It's not found in wisdom. It's not found in might or strength. It's not found in money. For that passage in Jeremiah said, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom." Why is it that it seems that a lot of times the scientist, we went to a science fiction movie. I happen to be a science fiction fan. It's probably one of my faults. But I always like to go see those. And we went to see a science fiction movie, and it was about a group of people that traveled to the red planet going to Mars. And on that, in the ship, there were these astronauts, and they were on their way there, and they were all discussing certain things. And on the ship, you had someone who was apparently the religious person. And they were giving him a hard time. Chris, you were there with me, weren't you? And they said, "Oh, you know," they said to this guy, "you know, what's up with you?" And he says, "You know, I searched," you know, and this guy was super smart. You know, that's why he was picked for the mission, right? Here he's going, really smart. And they said, "Well, what's up with you?" And he says, "You know, I've searched through science, and I've done all this, and I finally turned to philosophy." Now, Derek happened to be with us that time, too, and I leaned over to Derek and said, "Well, he's going to keep looking, didn't he? He's not going to find God in philosophy." And then he further went on later in the movie, and he says, you know, he telling the people on the, you know, when tough times hit, as going to Mars, I'm sure they would. But in tough times hit, when they're going to Mars, he says, "You got to have faith." You know, well, what's faith unless you put faith in something? You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But without faith, it's impossible to please God, because those who come to God must first believe that He is God and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's Hebrews 11, verse 1 and verse 6. Why is it that today man wants to do everything and have, as Derek said in previous lessons, a Christless Christianity? It's something that we can put on the shelf and take off on Sunday and put it back there on Sunday and move on. Whether we're wise, strong, or wealthy, the Lord says, "Let him glory in this, that he understand and knows me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." You know, I work out in Silicon Valley. I work for a software or a startup company, my second one. A lot of money's been made out there. Now, of course, nowadays, there's a lot of hurting and pain going on out there. NASDAQ's about half of what it was. I wish I felt that pain, but I know, you know, just trying to keep looking for the other side, which is a fallacy in and of itself. But with all that money that's made out there, what the pursuit is that, you know, more and more, bigger is better. It's so bad that even, you know, houses the size of 1,500 square feet are $700,000-$800,000. I mean, it's just madness. It's out of control. But the Lord says here that those that are rich in the world, that they be not high-minded nor trust in those uncertain riches, because they could be gone. I remember in the halftime of the football game yesterday, the Dr. Pepper. You know, if you saw the game, you knew it was the Dr. Pepper because you saw that commercial about 800,000 times. But I told Kathy, I said, "You know, you drink Dr. Pepper, you don't jump around that way. I don't understand." But anyways, in that halftime, they have somebody, and I forget how they get picked, but some incredible way, one person gets picked to kick a field goal, and they can go from the 10-yard line, the 20-yard line, the 30-yard line, and the 10-yard line is 50,000. The 20-yard line was $250,000, and the 30-yard line was $1,000,000. And if you make it, boom, check, there you go, drink a Dr. Pepper. You know, most of us say, "Well, yeah, if I didn't even like Dr. Pepper, I'd like it then." So they had the guy come up, and they had the mic in his face, and they said, "What are you going for?" And he says, "I'm going to kick for 10-yard line." And you hear the crowd boo, and they go, "You know, he's going for the least amount of money." And the second question was, "And why?" And he says, "Well, it's a sure thing." And I said, "He's a sure thing." Now, he's from Edmond, Oklahoma. And I said, "I'm going to hear about this," because, you know, his English wasn't too good. He was kind of like, "Yeah, it's a sure thing." So he got that football, he teed it up, and he lined up, and he just came up, and he hit that thing, and it just was the worst kick of his life. it came nowhere near that uprights. And that sure thing was gone. What happened to that sure thing? It's gone. Well, and they rubbed it in even further. After he missed it, they brought him back over to interview him again. They said, well, what happened? They said, well, we saw you hit, you know, 5 or 10 of those before the game. And yet, when it was on the line, it wasn't a sure thing. Because you know what? He might have been practicing before the game. But was it his life to kick 20-yard field goals? That's what it is from the 10-yard line. Was it his witness to be prepared for kicking? No. See, he all of a sudden in a moment had to show up and kick a 20-yard field goal, and he couldn't do it because of the moment when the pressure was on. So what about Christians? What about us? What about the fundamentals that we have? When all of a sudden we're walking and it's Wednesday and we don't have our Bibles and someone says, you know, ask a question where we should be able to give them an answer of the reason of the hope that's within us with meekness and fear. For it's God that works in us both the will and do of His good pleasure. Yes, we should be ready. And that comes from being prepared, doing the fundamentals, blocking, tackling, praying, reading the Scriptures, fellowshipping, being close to Him daily, being prepared. Verse 19, 1 Timothy 6:19 says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life, that I may know I have eternal life, and that I know that I'm going to send that life to God. I wonder if Al Schmidt, when that Sunday morning, he knew. He said, push me back. He kept his Bible and his gear on, and he said, push me back. Let somebody else out. So I know I have eternal life. The rest of this handout, the last part on page 4, adapted it from the pamphlet, This We Believe. It's the basis of the Open Bible Trust they put out. And I like the way they organized these thoughts. And I thought, you know, if anything about the ministry of Northside Bible Church is to give people a foundation that they might be able to stand, and they might be able to stand in Scripture rightly divided, that you're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, that you have a clear understanding of Scripture. And there's really three fundamental things that you need to be grounded in when you're talking about Christian basics. One is evangelical. You need to know that Christ and the deity of Christ, that God is in Christ, that Christ is God. And that the only manifestation we have of God is in Christ, because God was in spirit. And that there's only one mediator between God and man, that's the man Christ Jesus. And part two there, the evangelical foundational, is that two, we have to understand that the all-sufficiency of Christ's sacrifice, that you are complete in Him. It's not an annual thing. You've got to have to go back and keep, you know, asking for. You are completely taken. When you become a Christian, everything, past, present, and future, is taken care of. All your sins, your transgressions, and we are made absolutely complete in Him. You lack nothing. Anything, Christ plus anything, takes away from Christ. Now, some fundamentals. After you become a Christian, what are some fundamentals that you need to have under your belt? One, that you need to know that the Word of God is inspired. God breathed. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine. It's inspired by God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction. That this is the inspired Word of God. It doesn't contain truth. It is truth. Two, we are called unto good works. This is some of that, you know, that we should walk in them. Three, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We don't build up faith by experiences. It's not an experiential, I can't even say that word, experiential way to build up faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Reading the Word of God. And what? Yes, and four, Scripture is the final authority. When you go to Scripture and you compare Scripture with Scripture and you find out that no man's opinion is higher than Scripture, that Scripture is, the buck stops there. Now, after you have the fundamentals down, then you move on to higher things in Scripture, understanding dispensational things. You need to know how to handle the Word of God accurately. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself to prove unto God a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing, that means handling accurately the Word of God. You're called into that. You're then called to understand how God deals with man over the ages, the different dispensational way that God handles man, and the different strategies that He had a strategy in the Garden of Eden of innocence. And when Abram became Abraham, he gave the law, ultimately, to the Jew. And he had legal. Now we're in a period of grace. Well, there's all kinds of changes from a doctrinal perspective when you look at the calling. So you've got to understand those. And that takes study. And that's the third part, is three, understanding, know your calling. What is it that I'm called to do in Scripture? What is to me? Now, all Scripture's for me, but not all Scripture's to me. I need to know what Scripture is to me. And that's what we see in Ephesians, that Paul, the Apostle Paul, was given the body of truth called the mystery. He says, for you Gentiles, that you may know the hope of your calling. So, if you break it down, that's kind of a roadmap from the evangelical, understanding your position, who Christ is, and then your position in Christ, the fundamentals, knowing those, and then getting to the meatier things of Scripture, the dispensational foundations. And that's what this ministry is all about. Well, we kind of took a long way around the barn. We went to Pearl Harbor, and we tied it in with having a good foundation. It maybe was a stretch, but at least it was a thank you for those men who fought and women who fought in World War II at that time, for that pastor who was a witness, who died on the USS Oklahoma. And we've got the anchor of that ship very much in downtown Oklahoma City. Drive by it probably all the time, never even look at it, don't even think about it. But this week maybe we should. But most of all, the same calamity that was so drastic that struck Pearl Harbor, in our lives we pray that, you know, from a spiritual perspective, that we're ready no matter what state or what calamity comes our way or what blessings come our way, that God has conquered all and that we have just a glorious, blessed assurance in Him. So let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You for the Scripture and its testimony. We pray for our thoughts this week, Lord, as the 59th anniversary of the Pearl Harbor attack. Lord, there were a lot of people who lost their lives that time for this country, and we pray that just the legacy of that, Lord, is not forgotten but remembered, and the encouragement and that we have to remember these things. War is a terrible thing, Lord. We know that the only true peace is in Christ Jesus. So we pray, not only nationally but individually, for salvation in Christ Jesus, for the recognition of who He is and what He means in our lives. We thank You for this lesson. If there be any error, please strike it out. But Lord, just we give it up to glorify Your Son, Christ Jesus, for it's in His name we pray and for His sake. Amen.
His name.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.